Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
Ephesians. We are doing some follow-up studies to the verse-by-verse study which we've completed. So far, we have covered the background of Ephesus, the universal church, the local church, the work of the Holy Spirit, and now the gifts of the Spirit, part one. This is now the church age that Paul has introduced. Things have changed greatly. All that was known is now put aside for the church. The great mystery. And here we are, this mystery has extended 2,000 years so far, round figures. The work of the Holy Spirit has changed greatly. The Holy Spirit now seals every believer, dwells in every believer, guides every believer, enlightens every believer, and we have the responsibility to not grieve, not quench, but rather be filled. And these are the great truths of the church age. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came and went. Today, the Holy Spirit is with you wherever you go, whatever you do. Very sobering truth. And if a Christian lives and properly responds to the Holy Spirit, he will exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. It's the natural outcome of allowing the Holy Spirit to completely guide your thinking, and you will exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. Incredible blessing. You will be blessed, and people around you will be blessed. Well, the Holy Spirit also gave gifts. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now we know they come through the Holy Spirit, but it's because of the work of Jesus Christ the Holy Spirit came, and it is through the Holy Spirit we have these gifts. Well, this is going to be the subject of at least one other message, if not possibly two more, to cover the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Books have been written on this. We're going to do it in a few short messages. Spiritual gifts, common questions. Does everyone have them? What's the purpose of these gifts? How do I know my gifts? Are all gifts for today? Why do some churches emphasize gifts and others do not? And I'm sure there can be many other questions about the gifts of the Spirit. Well, the gifts of the Spirit are very real. They're in the Bible. They're instrumental in our service in the church age. And therefore, it's very important that we understand it. What are these gifts? How are they appropriated? How do I know what my gift is? And on and on. We have to consider two extreme views on the gifts of the Spirit. One, fanaticism. Tremendous emphasis on the Holy Spirit. The other end, neglect. We don't even talk about it. Well, that's not right. We have to find the balance between the two. We should be excited about the gifts of the Spirit. We better not neglect them, because they are important to our service. Obviously, this is not an exhaustive study, but I do hope when we're done, you will really appreciate the gifts of the Spirit. In a previous message, we have considered our service in the local church, and actually in the universal church, but primarily the local church where God has planted us in time and space. We have work to do. Well, to accomplish that work, the Holy Spirit has given us gifts. And they empower and they enable us. And it is those gifts we're to be exercising. And the Holy Spirit empowers those gifts in us to do what he has for us to do. We grieve the Holy Spirit when we do not yield to use our gift. The Holy Spirit gives gifts to the believer. 1 Corinthians 12:7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Every man, everybody has a gift. Talking obviously to believers, the unsaved don't have the gift. The gift doesn't come until you're saved. We have at least one gift, But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit wherewith. Every believer has one, at least. So therefore, everybody has a purpose and a job. They are an important aspect of your Christian life, and it is through the leading and the filling He is going to develop and use you to use your spiritual gifts. I want you to get this very loudly and clearly. Natural ability is not a gift. I have athleticism, therefore I have that as my gift. No. I can sing and play the piano. That's my spiritual gift. If you read the list of the gifts of the Spirit, that's not in there. They are natural talents. They are surely given by God, but they are not spiritual gifts as defined in the Scriptures. Some have natural talents, but these are not spiritual gifts. The spiritual gift is a gift from the Holy Spirit for ministry. Now, natural talents are also to be used for the ministry. But take something very silly. You have the natural ability to walk. Use it for the Lord. Duh. Get to church or something like that. Go visit somebody. Spiritual gifts are supernatural given ability from God through the Holy Spirit to function and serve within the body of Christ. Now think about it. There are a lot of unsaved people that are incredible musicians. That's not a gift of the Spirit. They're not using that natural ability wisely. But it's not like they got saved and all of a sudden they can play the piano. They played the piano before they got saved many times. Spiritual gifts are surely to benefit believers and unbelievers. 1 Corinthians 14:12. Even so ye, forasmuch as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek ye that you may excel to the edifying of the church. Don't get all focused on the gift. Rather, use the gift to build up the body of Christ. Well, you can see it. How many churches are all excited, especially we read the book of Corinthians, and they were all arguing over who's got this gift and who's got that gift. The important thing is not what the gift is. It's what God gave you. Use it for the glory of His body of believers. It's like getting all excited about the wrapping instead of the gift inside the box. Don't miss the obvious. The church is edified when the sinner trusts Christ as his personal Savior and joins, becomes a part of the body of Christ. Thus, the unsaved benefit from the gifts of the Spirit. So, your abilities can be used to reach the unsaved, and therefore they are even benefiting, if you will, and becoming part of the church. Your gifts will define how you're going to serve. Compare natural talents and spiritual gifts. Talents are natural. Spiritual gifts are supernatural. Talents are inherited from your parents at birth, and they have to be developed sometimes, many times, by hard work, or you can naturally run fast. Spiritual gifts are received at salvation. Natural talents are possessed by saved and unsaved. Spiritual gifts are possessed only by the saved. So it is, natural talents may be used for ministry, but they're not to be confused with spiritual gifts. A person who is successful in business does not mean that he's a good choice necessarily for a board member. He may not have the spirituality to be a wise person in God's body of believers. But yet the unsaved man or carnal believer that's not exercising his gifts, he may succeed in the world. But that doesn't mean he's a good choice for church leadership. A person who's a successful teacher does not mean, boy, you need to come into our church and teach Sunday school. Really? My Bible says we have to be spiritually illuminated. Some people can teach, but that doesn't mean they're able to teach the Bible. They may have the ability, the talent to go into the school and teach mathematics, but not necessarily scripture and spiritual living. Therefore, the church should not look for those who have achieved success in the world as a qualification for church work. Now, certainly you'd see people outside in the world And if they're faithful and they're always at work, they have a great work record, and they have a good report within their company, these are wonderful things. And certainly the Bible tells the elders we ought to be considering these sort of things. Does he have a good report? But that does not mean they are spiritual gifts. Consider this as we think about selecting people, looking for the abilities, spiritual gifts for leadership, for service. 1 Timothy, Timothy's the pastor, and Paul is admonishing him how to run the local church. Timothy, lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. I want you to see that. Don't lay hands suddenly on no man. You don't just take somebody that walks through the back door, hey, I'm a Sunday school teacher, what do you got for me? Sure, come on in. No. Lay hands on no man suddenly. If you read that in context, actually that seems to be very broad. For anything, get to know that person and see where their spiritual life stands. Remember, we've considered this before. Look at Acts. What do you look for in somebody to clean tables? Acts chapter 6, verse 1, and in those days when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. And I want you to get that text. In his narration has told us those widows were neglected. There was a very real problem. It wasn't just somebody complaining. Verse 2. The 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it's not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. The apostles weren't too good to wait on tables, but they said, our job is to be in prayer and in the word. Somebody else needs to take care of those tables to make sure the widows are not neglected. There was an error here on behalf of the church. They were missing something. But it says, look for seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost. Lay hands on no man suddenly. Make sure you have a spiritual person whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Verse 5, and the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. When they had prayed, they laid hands on them. So it is. It's not just a simple thing saying, well, here, I just need you in church. Get to work here. Let's see what you're made of. Let's watch what the Holy Spirit is doing, and he guides, because he's given you spiritual gifts. What are they? And this is what has to be exercised and appreciated in your service to the Lord. Spirituality is the foundation for the believer to exercise his spiritual gifts. Consider 1 Timothy 3:7. Talking about the elder, moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without. Certainly, we must have a good reputation in the community, a place of work. But that's not a spiritual gift. It is spirituality and not natural talent that makes a person useful to God. Our natural talents are used, as I said before, the idea that you can walk and talk. Our natural abilities. They may not be real outstanding, like I can run faster than most of the people in the world, but they are natural abilities, and we need to use them. But there are spiritual gifts above and beyond natural talents. We do need to use our natural talents for the Lord, but only to support the spiritual gifts. And I want you to notice this as you read your Bible and you consider spiritual gifts. You will never see natural talents listed among spiritual gifts. You're not going to find it. How do you identify your gift? The best way to find out your spiritual gift seriously, make yourself available to be used in the local church, and the Holy Spirit will see that your spiritual gift is noticed by others. Other people will notice your ability. You're going to start to feel it. But it is something different than your natural talents. Boy, I just like to do this and this, so therefore that's how I serve. That's all well and good, but is that your spiritual gift? Others will notice your ability or the lack of ability in certain aspects of ministry, but let me tell you what I have seen so precious throughout the years. Be willing to do anything. Do you want me to do this? I will do it. And you do it to the best, because a key to Christian growth and service is be willing. Do what you're asked to do, and God will therefore lead and steer. You know, that guy is not only, I mean, he's faithful as anything, and look at this. This is really working out well. The men in Acts chapter 6 had to be seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, that we made a point over this business, and I do think that we can see very clearly that it was implied they were faithful. Consider, we read already through 1:6, but let's read chapter 6, verse 7. Now that they have put these men into service to wait on tables, what happened? Because of their willingness, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, a great company. Now this is the result of picking seven men to wait on tables. And it freed up the apostles to be faithful in the word and in prayer, and it all worked together. Well, what good's my job? All I do is take out the trash around here. Do you want to know how important your job is? Don't do it. You don't notice an empty trash can until nobody empties it. Right? Look at this. So here it is. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Priests! Remember the time of transition from the law to the church? The priests, there are Jewish priests that are still hung up with this transition, and they're seeing the effects of these seven men waiting on tables and the power of the prayers of the apostles, and there are priests who are getting saved. Because they pick spiritual men to do even the simplest of the tasks. I want you to see, too, that these men did the humble job of cleaning up tables to make sure the widows aren't neglected. That's an important job, but I want you to see what God did with these men. In verse 8, Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles. You start to exercise one gift, and don't be surprised when God starts to open up doors for more gifts. You're faithful, God says, I will make you ruler over many. He gives you more. Is this not the joy of the Lord, is service? When we serve the Lord in excitement, and then you start to be faithful, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit starts to develop more in you of a gift, and all of a sudden what's God do? It's a reward he gives you. More service. And it's a greater joy. And you just yield yourself. And God multiplies what we do. Stephen didn't do those miracles on his own. The Holy Spirit, when you yield yourself, he will just start to work through you. And all of a sudden, the guy that's waiting on tables is all of a sudden doing miracles. Consider Philip. Acts chapter 8, verse 5. He is one of the original seven men waiting on tables. Then Philip went down to the city in Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And these guys are now preachers. Got it? He's no longer waiting on tables. He's now a preacher. That's amazing. But where did it begin? I'm faithful. Do you want me to wait on tables? I'll wait on tables. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles. He started out waiting on tables. Start at the bottom and work up. You start waiting on tables, God leads you up to greater responsibilities, leading you. In this case, these men were called in to be preachers. God will lead you where he wants, and you're going to start to realize your spiritual gift. By the way, you're allowed to know your spiritual gift. I believe I have the gift of being a pastor and opening the Word of God. Do I think I'm the best? No. Do I think I'm high and mighty because of it? God have pity on me if I do. He'll crown me. But how would you like it if I stood up in here and said, you know, I'm really nothing. I just can't do it. I mean, I got to stand up here with confidence, right? And I believe the Holy Spirit has given me confidence because of the gift he's given me. Imagine calling the plumber. I need you to fix a leak in my sink. Are you any good? Well, not really. I mean, you would expect the plumber to say, yes, I can fix a leak, right? And you wouldn't think he's proud. And this is where it is with Christians. If God calls you to a job and God has given you a spiritual gift, you're allowed to know when I work in the Spirit, God works through me. That's the way it is. If a man is not faithful in little things, he will not be faithful in big things. Now, I do believe that Stephen, Philip, and all believers got their gifts the moment they got saved. They haven't been developed. And as they exercised one gift, more gifts came. Now, there are some that may teach, no, you get another gift. You know what? I'm not going to stand here and argue that. To me, that becomes quite irrelevant. I'll leave that with God. The bottom line is He gives us gifts through the Holy Spirit, and we use them for His glory and honor, and He greatly multiplies what we do. All right, how do you develop your gift? First of all, you start to apply yourself. But consider, 1 Corinthians 12:1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, you need to remember that the church of Corinth was a mess. They were a disaster. And first six chapters, Paul just had to rebuke after rebuke after rebuke. And then he starts setting things right at chapter 7, putting things in order where they need to be corrected. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, born-again people, even though they're all messed up, I would not have you ignorant. I don't want you ignorant, even Cape Baptist. You need to understand spiritual gifts. That way you can grow and develop in them. The first thing you need to do is actually apply yourself once you start to realize your gift. And sometimes you're going to find it, it's going to take a while, and all of a sudden you're going to start to find it. We'll get to defining all of the gifts, okay? We'll get there. Paul is writing to Timothy, and he said to Timothy, 2 Timothy 1:6, "Come on, Timothy, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God. If you let it go dormant, it gets rusty and all dusty. Bring it out, come on, brush it off, clean it up, and let's go." He said in 1 Timothy 4:14, Paul said to Timothy, "Neglect not the gift that's in thee." It is possible to neglect your spiritual gift, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Now, I'm not convinced that we have to lay hands on people to give them a spiritual gift. I think in the early days, it was like the time of transition. Ready? All of a sudden, you got a Holy Ghost in you. Right. No, watch. I can do miracles. I can speak in tongues and on and on. And say there were sign gifts so you would understand this is true. There's really a Holy Spirit. How did you do that otherwise? And so the Holy Spirit shows His power. And the laying on of hands, I do believe it was like a sign. Okay, come on, come here. We'll put the hand on you. Now, I have seen, and it happened to me when I was ordained into the pastorate, they put their hands on me. But I think that is more of an identification rather than the actual bringing of the gift. Because they had to see the gift of pastoring in me before they ordained me. They didn't ordain me and hope that I would get the gift. It takes effort to develop a spiritual gift. You don't all of a sudden wake up in the morning, ta-da! Read it. It takes effort. First, you don't neglect it. Let's read Romans 12:6. Let's consider some of these gifts. "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that's given us, whether it's prophecy, let us prophesy under the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching." In other words, apply yourself to your job, whatever it is. Verse 8, "And he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity." I like that one. What did the Pharisees do in the temple? They made a big deal of their offering. Do you have the gift of giving? Shh, do it real simple. Don't let anybody know. "He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness." Practice. Apply yourself. It's a skill, but the Holy Spirit wants us to apply ourselves, and He will develop it as we exercise with this gift. Consider Timothy had to work at preaching. Look at 2 Timothy 2:15. "Timothy, you're the pastor. study to show thyself approved unto God. You better study if you think you're going to speak and be a pastor. And he had to, don't neglect it, because if you neglect study, you're going to have a terrible problem. Your gift will not be exercised well. So whatever your gift is, you have to apply yourself to it. Don't neglect it. Rather, exercise it. I want you to think something else that's very interesting about spiritual gifts. Very, very broad outline. Ready? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul is talking about spiritual gifts. Chapter 12. Chapter 14, Paul is talking about spiritual gifts. You see, the people in Corinth were all arguing over who had the best gifts, and I've got this gift, and I've got this gift. So in 12, spiritual gifts, 14, spiritual gifts, and 13, you're nothing without love. I don't care what your gift is. Love is more important. 1 Corinthians, remember, 12. Chapter 12 is ending a dissertation on gifts, and he won't pick it up till 14, but he says, but covet earnestly the best gifts, sure, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels. He is now actually downplaying some of the gifts. Though I could speak with the tongue of men and angels and have not charity. Now, what's the tongue of men? Well, at Pentecost, what happened? They all had the tongues of men. And what's the tongue of an angel? It's being able to speak on what they saw. They've seen the throne of God. They can talk a higher order that we're going to go, okay, it's English, but I don't get a clue what you're saying. Like a doctor just came in and gave you this great diagnosis. Okay, I don't know what you said. It was all in Latin to me. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, which is the greatest of love in the Greek, agape, I become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. It doesn't matter if I don't have love. My gifts are worthless. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profits me nothing. Paul interrupts this dissertation on gifts and talks about the importance of being a care about people. That's got to be exercised in every gift that's out there, whether you're waiting on tables, you're the pastorate, or whether whatever. It must be done in love. So how do you determine what your gifts are? Get busy. Use your natural talents and let God develop, and all of a sudden people will start to see and you'll start to blossom. As you exercise this, the Holy Spirit will put His hand upon you. And people are going to see the fruit or the lack of fruit in those efforts. I want you to go work with kids. You start to work with kids and either you're going to blossom in that ministry or you're not the guy. Thank you for trying. Why don't we move you over here? And that's where you also see then the incredible importance of being flexible. Nobody tells me where I'm going to serve. That's my job. I'm not going to... Just go where God wants you to go, because when you find out your spiritual gift and you get exercised, you're going to be so happy and it will grow and you'll become more and more effective. Don't let your feelings get hurt when your job gets changed. Remember, the purpose of your gifts is to benefit others, and other people, therefore, are going to see your gift. We'll wrap up with this point, and then we'll pick this up. There are three categories of gifts: speaking gifts, ministering gifts, and sign gifts. Each one of them is given as a miracle of God. A believer has one or more, several of those. And through those is what God uses for you to minister and the rest of the church to be blessed. And you need to exercise your miracles, your gifts, which were divinely given to you for the church. And we're also going to start to discern here, and we'll get into this next week, God does miracles all the time. And part of those are the spiritual gifts He's given to us. But consider Colossians 1:17, and He, Jesus Christ, is before all things, and by Him all things consist. This world is completely controlled by God, in that particular case, Jesus Christ. Folks, it's all about God. If he lets go, the stars go out of place. All the way from those stars, they stay in space. Do you realize when you look up and you see Orion, the belt there, right, and the shoulders and the knees and all the fun stuff in the sky? Did you know they saw that 2,000 years ago? Even though they're whipping through space at thousands of miles an hour, this is so vast that it looks like they don't even move. What keeps them there? Go down to the atom. What keeps the electron from falling into the neutron that's positively charged? Don't positive and negative attract? Why don't they collapse? Why don't the stars collapse all the way down to the molecular level? Why don't they collapse? Because by him all things consist. This is the God we serve, and as you look at your spiritual gift and your service, if he can keep that in control, do you think he can guide you in where he wants you to minister? I think so.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.